up to 8:15, and so I was like, absolutely. And anyhow, she said, if you get out at 8:15, it's all right. I said, look, I said, the only reason we're going to 8:30 is because of you. I mean, she made it a point. Remember that, Brother Scott? It has to go to 8:30. Has to go to 8:30. Anyhow, now all of a sudden, she's got all these bad kids of y'all's over there. And she's like, look, somebody got to save me. Get me out of here at 8:15. So we're going to shoot for 8:15 tonight. And I figure in about 3 more months, we'll be down to 8 o'clock. how many of you know when you give a little, they take more and more, right? And so anyhow, when the kids figure out that, hey, we can be bad and get out 15 minutes early, she's in trouble. All right. And but anyhow, all right, if you found your place in John chapter number 15, I want you to say amen. All right. Let's get a little background before we get into chapter number 15. Let's find out where we're at. Let's kind of get the backdrop and the story of where we are. In John chapter number 13, without flipping over there, do not flip over there. In John chapter number 13, what happened in John chapter number 13? Washing the disciples' feet. I got one person in here that knew that. Y'all got, yeah. We got to work on y'all's discipleship stuff, all right? So, in John chapter number 13, we have the upper room, and we have the Last Supper. We have the washing of the disciples' feet. As they prepare to leave out of there, something is said in chapter number 13. And Jesus says, let's see. In verse number 33 of chapter 13, stay in 15, you're fine. Little children, yet a little while am I with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered, whither I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Of course, Peter, he didn't know when to keep his mouth shut, so the next question out of his mouth is, why? All right? So, we move from chapter number 13. Jesus has let them know, quite frankly, he's going somewhere and they can't go with him. Okay? We move into chapter number 14. And how many of you know what's some significant events that happen in chapter number 14 if your name is not Melissa Strong? Not all at once. He's gone to prepare. I hear you, Brother Edwin. You looked back, didn't you? Oh, good. All right. He goes to prepare a place for them. A verse that we hear quoted all the time. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's John chapter number 14, verse number 6. All right. That's after he told the disciples that he would go and prepare a place for them. All right. And that he would come again. He also tells them in chapter number 14, he gives them the promise of somebody. Who is it? The Comforter, all right? The Holy Spirit. And that promise is that when Jesus leaves, he will not leave them comfortless. He will send the Holy Spirit, and he will, according to Scripture, chapter number 14, verse number 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, listen, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. So, continuing the same thought that he was in chapter number 13, telling them that he was going to leave. Now he tells them he's going to prepare a place for them. And he tells them that he is going to pray the Father, and he will send a comforter that will abide with them forever. But he has somewhere to be. He said, and yet a little while, I will be here on the earth. All right? Now, as we're moving through Scripture, all right, we've gone from the upper room. Now we are working our way to Gethsemane. We have left the upper room. We are on the journey, if you will, to the Garden of Gethsemane, which many of us know that that night he would be taken from, and the next day he would be crucified. I want to give you this. I want you to get the background of this and where this is going, because right now the disciples, they're probably just as bad as us and really don't realize the significance of what he's saying. He's telling them that there's coming a time that I will not be with you anymore. They're probably like us, and in their mind, that time was a long way off, not realizing what you and I know through Scripture, that it would be the last night that they spent with him. This right here is the last time that they would hear his voice and hear his words and him be not hanging on a cross. And so as they're moving towards Gethsemane, he tells them, he gives them a lesson in chapter number 15, an object lesson, if you will, was something that they were very familiar with. The concern here would be that he is going away from us. So how do we continue when you are not with us, all right? And so in chapter number 15, if you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, you ain't going to find it, all right? It says in verse number 1, I'm going to read through verse number 14. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. So he identifies himself as the vine, and now he tells us about the branch, but now he takes it a step further, and he says to the disciples, ye are these branches. The branch cannot survive disconnected from the vine. Now, the significance of this was that he just told them he was going away. He just told them that he was going to leave them. He was going to have to go. And now he's trying to explain to them that even though he may be going away, he may not be with them bodily, they are still to stay connected to him. They're still to stay connected to him. And so he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. I'm in verse number 5. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Man, if we get a hold of that, without him, without being connected to him, without abiding in him, we can do nothing. Verse number 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, I ain't going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but just by reference and just by your curiosity, this is not teaching that you'll lose your salvation if you don't abide in Him, all right? This is merely a ruination of your testimony before men. Verse number 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. What's our purpose in life? To bear fruit. What's our purpose in life? What is our number one purpose in life? Why were we created? To glorify God. How do we glorify God? By bearing fruit. Now, the problem with most Christians, they believe that bearing fruit is they got to go out and get people saved. But that ain't the only fruit that a Christian can or ought to bear. Verse number 9. Let me read 8 again. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Does everybody see that verse? So there's a correlation between keeping his commandments and abiding in Christ. I'm going to say that again because Brother Mark is the only one apparently that got it. There's a correlation between keeping his commandments and abiding in his love. Verse number, where am I at? 10? 11. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Boy, Jesus emphasized that in chapter 13 and chapter 14, now here in chapter number 15. Verse number 13, greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. I was looking at this passage of scripture, and I've preached from it before, but it's been a long time, I think. I don't know how long it's been, but I feel like it's been a pretty long time since I preached out of John chapter number 15. But this thought of abiding in Christ, this thought of staying connected to Christ. We are living in a disconnected world. We are furthering and furthering ourselves from God, from the teachings of the Word of God. You can go, it doesn't matter what part of society you go into, you can see us getting further and further and further away from God. We are literally disconnecting from God. Now, say, we'll never get to the point where we totally disconnect from God, but the Bible tells us that there was a time back in Noah's day that the men of the earth, all and every thought that they had was evil. They had completely disconnected from God. They had the truth. They had Adam. They had the testimony of Adam, his sons, right on. And really and truthfully, Adam could have told the story. Adam's sons could have told the story to Noah. With the time span of the length of their lives, it wouldn't have been but a couple of generations gap from the story of the Garden of Eden and God creating up into Noah. And yet, at that time, the people had completely disregarded God. So, it's not some crazy idea that this world could once again get to a place where they don't even know God. Now, we know we have a promise that God will never destroy the earth by flood, but we have no promise that God will never destroy the earth. Matter of fact, we have a promise that God will destroy the earth again. And a new heaven and a new earth will be created. Of course, we know that. And the book of Revelation at the end times. But you and I are not guaranteed. There's nowhere in prophecy that the U.S., I told this another night, there's nowhere in prophecy. You can't pull out of the Bible a prophecy that America is going to be in the end times. We're liable to be wiped out, and very well so could be wiped out before we ever get to the rapture. Is everybody, whoa, really? Yeah, that's right. I don't think for one second that we're in God's plan as far as the rapture goes, and he ain't going to do anything without the good old U.S. of A. God doesn't need us, and God, this, it ain't about us. All right? So, we're very disconnected, and we seem to be drifting farther and farther away from God and away from truth. We have people that used to come to church. The pandemic hit, and it seemed to be a way for people to do what they wanted to do anyhow, and that is disconnect. We've struggled to try to get folks to get back involved and get people back in, and we've heard excuses of, oh, the pandemic, or the virus, or this, that, and the other. And the problem is that so many Christians are disconnected and they don't even realize it. Or so many of them are becoming disconnected and they don't realize it. Jesus said, I'm going away and it is imperative that ye abide in me. Because without me, you can do nothing. Do you realize that that same message to the disciples is the message for us tonight? I'll go over here and say that, all right? I know it's a rough night. It's killing us. But that same message to the 11, because Judas has already gone to do the work of the devil, that same message to the 11 is for you and I. It's for you and I. I have a responsibility to abide in him. All right? So let's take a look at this abiding tonight. I want you to notice the connection of the branch. Number one, the connection of the branch. Its source. How do we get connected? By getting saved. Somebody said it. I don't know who did it. All right? But I appreciate you. All right? Stay engaged. All right? So we get saved. That's how we connect to the vine. If we're not saved, if you're not saved, then it is impossible for you to abide in the vine. So the source of this connection is the salvation that is freely offered to you and I. So if you're sitting in this building tonight and there's never been a time where God there's never been a time where you have yielded to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and have gotten saved, then you cannot abide in Christ. And he does not abide in you. As we've gone through our study discipleship class on Sunday night, we have learned that we are born into Satan's family. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh to do good. The Bible lets us know very plainly that you and I are not worthy of heaven and we cannot reach heaven. So we are born that way. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death was passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so we're born into that family. And until there's a spiritual birth, and we are born into God's family, there's no connecting to the vine. The vine is our source of life. We are the branches. Y'all got to help me tonight. We're the branches. Jesus made it very clear that his disciples, that should be you and I, are his branches, are the branches. He is the vine, and there is no life if we are not connected to him. I believe it is in Ephesians chapter number 2 where it says that you were dead in trespasses. That's when you weren't connected to the vine. That was when you weren't saved. You were dead in trespasses and sin. But the Bible says you hath he quickened or made alive is what that word means. And that happens the instant that you get saved. So the connection of the branch, its source, is through salvation. Its span is eternity. You can't get disconnected. I need somebody to say amen. You can't be cast away. There's not going to be no going to hell. Even though the verse number 6 there paints a picture of the vine being cut off and the vine being discarded and the vine being burned. This is not in reference to our eternity, so to speak, as eternal judgment, but it is a reference to our life if we are disconnected from Him. We see it's supplied. The Bible says that God will supply us a comforter. The Bible says that that comforter will teach us all things. See, it's not just about being connected as a ticket to heaven. It's about being connected and learning of Him. The Bible says without Him, He said, without me, if you don't abide in me, He said, you can do nothing. So abiding in Him is life for the saved. The superiority of it. We abide in Christ and we are blessed. The Bible says by abiding in Him, we will bear much fruit. Maybe if we not have fruit in our life, maybe it's a good indicator that we're not abiding in Christ. Everybody all right? The connection of the branch. Number 2, we see the care of the branch. The care of the branch. First off, I want you to notice it's purging. The Bible says in verse number 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So, as you look at this, this is a work that happens on the inside. This is a work that happens by the Spirit that is using the Word of God or the washing of the Word. Verse number 3. Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. The word in verse number 2 that says he taketh away, it literally means this. Most people think, well, it means that he's going to cut it off, but that is not what that word means. When you go and study that word, it means that he will lift us up. The picture, once again, for them was very vivid, and they understood this, that the husbandman, by the way, in the story, is God the Father. And the husbandman would take those branches that were on the ground, and he would lift them up off the ground so that they could bear fruit. He would also, this purging is a, it literally means that to cleanse or to wash with water. And so the care of the branch, I'm thankful right here that when you and I aren't bearing fruit as we should, God just doesn't throw us away. The husbandman, the father, he takes care of us. He invests in us by lifting us up out of the muck and the mire and cleaning us off. Why? Because it is imperative that you and I are clean, and a clean environment is established for us to bear fruit. I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. You go into, Hebrews chapter number 12. You go into Hebrews chapter number 12 and the fruit of righteousness is talked about. The fruit of righteousness comes by the chastisement of the Lord. as we are corrected by the Lord, the fruit of righteousness is evident in our life. You go into Galatians, and of course we know the fruit of the Spirit, and we know peace, love, joy, all those things that you and I know. Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 22, I believe it is, and verse number 23, we find the fruit of the Spirit. These things happen in us. It's our behavior, if you will. It's not us leading people to the Lord. It's something that takes place inside of us. I can't show peace. I can lie about peace and be a hypocrite about peace. The only way that I can find peace is within. The only way that I can love is within. The only way I'm going to find joy is within. This is an inward work. By the Holy Spirit, as long as we are connected to the vine and we are abiding in Him, He creates an environment. Can I say this? You're not going to have peace. You're not going to have love. You're not going to have joy. You're not going to have patience and long-suffering. You're not going to have goodness and meekness. You're not going to have those fruits if the environment that you are in is not productive at all for it. There's too many people that are hooked up with the world trying to live like God and wondering why. Is everybody all right? We're trying to live godly, but we're hooked up to the wrong thing. Our environment is wrong. The Bible says that these in verse number 2, He taketh away, He lifts them up, gets them out of the dirt so that they can be cleansed and then bear fruit. Yes, sir. Many aren't bearing fruit because we're not abiding in the vine and we're not submitting to the purging of the Word. I'm not going any further. Is everybody all right? I'm coming down on the floor. Got to bring my glasses. Better bring my water. I told Brother Scott I'm lightheaded tonight. I might pass out. I don't know what's going on. Don't be talking about you know that feeling. Make me think you want me to pass out or something. Where was I at? What was I talking about before I come down here, Brother Scott? I was talking about purging, this cleansing. We won't submit ourselves. We won't submit ourselves. I said this in college Tuesday night. How many Christians are truly growing in the environment that God has placed you in? Are we just walking into the church, sitting on a pew, and going through the motions? Now, if you're not, your face is telling a lie. Some of you, man, it looks like you don't even want to be here. Serious. I mean, I'm being serious with you. Nobody else tell you. If you walked in, you look sick, the doctor ought to tell you, hey, man, you don't look too good. So I'm going to tell you as the preacher, hey, you ain't looking too good. You act like church is a burden to you. Church is just some old man. I gotta come to church. But then try to convince everybody that we're abiding in Christ. If you're abiding in Christ, where's the fruit? You understand this about the disciples? They wanted to be with Christ. Now He's telling them, I'm not going to be with you. And they're saying, well, how can we want to be with you. How can we do that? And He's saying, I'm going to send a comfortable comforter, but you got to stay connected. We're going to get to that in just a few moments when I get to the last point. Just hold on. It's care. We see it's purging, but we see it's pruning. I better go on because I'm fitting to get all over it. So in its pruning, the Bible says this. We read in verse number 6. Can you put up verse number 6 up there for me so I can read easier? There we go. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. We go in. Let me read. Let me get back to my scripture, because I ain't real sure that's the verse that I want to be on right there. No, it's not Hillbrook, Kenny. No, sir. All right. Do I now? I know it says burn, and so it throws you off, but it's not. As I said, I knew this would be the question. Does this mean that I can go to hell if I don't abide in him. No, this is not what this means. This is dealing with your testimony. This is dealing with your spiritual life. This is you cannot function as a disciple separate from him. And there is a, if you look at that, there's a progression. He is cast forth as a branch. Then he withers. Does everybody see that? Now, if God was sending us to hell, he'd have just cast us in there. So we're cast forth onto the ground as a branch. Then we become withered. As we're disconnected, it's a progression. We become withered. Then men gather us up. And then we're cast into the fire. And they are burned. So it's not a, it has nothing to do with our eternal damnation.
That's right.
This is talking about your life disconnected from God, the progression. All right? We could tie this in with James chapter number 2 and verse, I think it's 10. Where every man, is that the right verse? I don't know if that's the right reference, but every man is drawn away by his own lust, and then he's enticed. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin bringeth forth. Is everybody with me? So, no, it does not mean hell. But the purging that God does in our lives. This has always been interesting to me. Michelle's mama, we had a grapevine. We had on our property there in Browntown. We had this huge grapevine, muscadines. We'd have white grapes, the seedless, and the different grapes. But these things, my mother-in-law, she had a green thumb. Now she'd grow anything. Shell didn't get that. My wife, she can grow stuff, but she's real good at killing it too, all right? And but anyhow, she would come and they would prune prune that grapevine so that it would produce more fruit. What happens is that they would cut, Jesse, they would cut the branches, the smaller ones, the things that maybe weren't so healthy, they would cut them as to keep them from getting the nutrients that would take away from the stronger. And so what they would do, listen to me, they cut those, and that way more nutrients would go to the stronger ones, okay? Now, the reason I say all this is because those offshoots and those other branches were not necessarily bad. They weren't bad. They weren't diseased. They were just taking away from the fruitfulness of the vine. Is everybody all right? So a lot of times, not only does God wash us, this is an inside work, but the purging, or the purging is an inside work, the pruning is an outside work. And God uses circumstances in our environment. That, remember, God is, who is God in the story? Who's the Father? He's a husbandman. He's taking care of the vine and the branches. He's the one that's going through there, and he's doing the purging. By his sovereignty, he knows what you and I need, what we don't need, to make us more productive or more fruitful. And so God takes things out of our lives, listen to me, that aren't necessarily bad. They're just taking away from our fruitfulness. I hope y'all get this, all right? It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just God taking it from us so that we can be more fruitful in other areas of our life. And so the care of the vine happens inwardly through the washing of the Word and the Holy Spirit that teaches us all things. And the pruning of the vine takes place in the circumstances around us. A loss of a job. Oh, I can't believe I lost my job. It's going to kill me. And yet, it was the very thing that God used to make you more fruitful. I can't believe my best friend left me. The very thing that God uses to make you more fruitful. I can't believe this happened in my life. Preacher, you just ain't going to believe all this stuff that's happened to me and this went on in my life. And all it is God cutting things out of your life. They're not necessarily bad things, but they're keeping you from being as productive as you need to be. All right, we've got to get to the last point because I ain't got a few more minutes. I'm going to get y'all out of here. We see the connection of the branch. We see the care of the branch. And lastly, we see the choice of the branch. Jesus abides in us through the Holy Spirit. He said that He would not leave us comfortless. In chapter number 14, He said that He would send the Holy Spirit and He would abide with, you remember I read the verse, He would abide with us for how long? Forever. So the problem in abiding isn't on His end. Is everybody all right? The problem in abiding isn't on God's end. Because we're promised that He will abide in us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus will stay connected to us forever. Once again, doesn't mean we're going to hell, right? Why? Because we are abiding with Him. The Holy Spirit's abiding in us forever. So what was the teaching that Jesus was trying to say here? I'll be with you forever. Listen, it doesn't necessarily mean you'll be with me forever. If we're not careful, we can become disconnected. And the thing about it is, He was talking to the 11. He was talking to the disciples that had given up everything to follow Him. The ones that said, we'll go with Him to die. That's what they said. When they come and said, hey, Lazarus is sick. Jesus said, we're going to stick around here for a few days. And then Jesus said, all right, let's go see Lazarus. And they said, they want to kill you. He said, we must go awake Lazarus. And one of the disciples said, well, we go to die with him. Hey, look here. You can say a lot about him at the cross, but you can go back to John chapter number 11 and you can find out that them boys were all in when it come to him. Well, he's going back. They're trying to kill him. We're going to go back with him to die. And here they went to Bethany. Is everybody with me? These same men. Jesus is now saying, better be careful. Because there's a possibility that you can disconnect from me. I'll abide in you, but there's a strong possibility that you will not always abide in me. So the choice of the branch, it's a personal choice. Listen to me. I wish I had time. I ain't got time. I got to get y'all out of here. Y'all ready? It's a personal choice. It's a purposeful choice. And I'll end right there. The last one is it's a profitable choice. But because it brings forth fruit. But I want to say this purposeful choice. I had to, for me to abide in Christ, it has to be on purpose. It has to be on purpose. I can't just abide in Christ. Listen to me. One service a week. Two services a week. Three services a week. That's not abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ is something that I choose to do every day, all day, so that I can stay connected. Go to that piano, if you will. Heads bowed with me. I told you I was getting y'all out of here, and I am. I got 1 minute and a half. I told you that the source to being connected with Christ comes through salvation. Before we leave out of here tonight, I want to give an invitation for salvation. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you cannot abide in Him. So tonight, I will ask you a personal question. Nobody's looking around. I want you to answer me. I will not tell anybody. I won't point you out. I won't send anybody to you. But if you were to die tonight, do you know where you'd spend eternity? If you do not know where you'd spend eternity, if you were to die sitting in that chair, I want you to do me a favor and look right up at me. That's all I'm asking you to do is be honest with me. Is there anybody like that in the building? All right, I don't see any. Let me say this to all the Christians in here. You and I are going to have to work hard to make sure that you and I stay connected to Christ. Everything in this world is trying to disconnect us and trying to pull us away. And most church members come to church, sit on a pew, check off a box, and think they've done their part. If I'm going to stay connected to God, if I'm going to stay connected to Christ, if I'm going to abide in Him, I'm going to have to abide in Him through His Word, through fellowship with Him, through fellowship with others. The fellowship with Him came with prayer to Him. He said, whatsoever things you ask in my name. The fellowship with others came when He said that you and I are commanded to love one another. And in verse number 3, He tells us that we are cleansed by His Word. We need all of that, fellowship and His Word. Tonight, let's grow instead of just attending church. Let's grow in church by abiding in Christ. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. God, thank You for tonight. Lord, I thank You for Your presence in our service. I thank You for the singing, the preaching. Lord, I pray that we take it home. Lord, I pray that we on purpose set ourselves and our lives to abide in You. God, thank You for the promise of Your abiding in us forever. Lord, we love You.